Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all our worship leaders for leading us. I couldn't help but think while Rick was singing his song that God wants to hear you sing, that he has to be a God of love and a loving Heavenly Father and one who really loves his children if he wants to hear me sing. Did anybody else sit there and have that same feeling? Okay, I see those hands out there, okay? He really is a loving Father, isn't he, when he wants to hear his children sing, especially like me. It's a joyful noise. Well, today is going to be an interesting topic in your life groups, and we've been still imagining as we go through Bible studies for life what the topic is for the Bible study lesson, and then in the message I'll introduce that. And you're going to be talking about being connected to the body of Christ, and why do you need to be connected to the life of the church? In other words, why do you need to attend church? And this comes at a very interesting time. 11 months ago was when we shut down. We shut down, the third Sunday in March because the pandemic was just too frightening for us, and we shut down. But we immediately went to live streaming the worship times, and we weren't live streaming. We were videoing every Thursday afternoon, everything, and then putting it online for Sunday morning. And then this interesting word appeared for me anyway, and that's the word Zoom. And we started having meetings and classes by Zoom. And we had a personnel committee on Wednesday night, and some of them were expressing the fact that I'm tired of meeting by Zoom. I'm Zoomed out. And I said, hey, you know what? I like it. I really liked it. I mean, I missed the personal interaction. But the neat thing about it is if I'm sitting at home and I have a Zoom meeting, when I click off of that Zoom meeting, I'm home. I don't have to stand around, waste time, then get in my car, drive home, stop and pick up bread or milk or whatever it is, you know what? But I'm home. I'm there. And we've done that for church meetings. We've done that for associational meetings. We've done that with my Zoom meetings from Anderson. Sometimes I have three a day from Anderson University as a trustee with things that are going on. But there is a concern that we share. And that is, we know, if we look around us, that a lot of people have not ventured back. And we're taking all the safety precautions that we can, except for mandating masks. And we're just saying they're highly recommended, because we felt like if we mandated masks, we'd lose some people, because some people say, I don't want to have to be burdened by that mask. But we ask you to do that, and we suggest that they're highly recommended. So, but we know some people haven't come back to us, and for various reasons. A lot of them are health reasons, and that's certainly a valid one. We also lost some people, and we knew that. We were told that one of the things that's going to happen during this pandemic, while you're down, shut down, and things are going on in this, especially when people were quarantined at home, is people are going to make major life-changing decisions during this pandemic quarantine. And they did. People retired and they moved away. We had some people who lived a long distance from us here at Spring Valley, and they started to evaluate the fact that, hey, you know, we can watch on live streaming, once we went back to live streaming. And we could get that, and then we could go to a church closer to where we live. People have moved for various reasons, to get closer to grandchildren and children. And so we've lost a lot of people that we know are not going to come back. We also know that there were some people, and all the research by Lifeway tells us all these things, that you're going to have people who attended maybe once every 6 weeks or so, that more than likely they're not going to come back. They're just completely out of the habit. And then I know that some of you are listening to this today, you're doing it as you want to. You're comfortable. You're still in your PJs. You got on your bedroom shoes. You got a cup of coffee. Maybe you've already read the paper, or it's lying there beside you. You're going to read that while you listen to this. And it's been a challenge for groups to maintain, for life groups to maintain their connectedness. Interestingly, some of the life groups have increased their attendance during this time. And that is a neat thing about live streaming. You can watch it wherever you are, if you're off on a business trip or on vacation or whatever, or if you're sick and confined to home. And the same is true for joining up with your life group. You can do that wherever you are. You can plug into the Zoom, and it makes it convenient for you. So we're going to continue to provide all of those, even as we keep opening. And more and more people get the vaccine, and the numbers come down. We're watching all that every week. Every day we talk about it. Every staff meeting we talk about that. We're trying to plan for how we're going to reopen and all of those things that go along with that. You know, we'd like to open the children's area and that'd bring more people back. We have a highest attendance when we open the children's area, and those classes that have those children are here. But we have difficulty staffing that. Allison has difficulty staffing that because a lot of people aren't comfortable with coming back and being here, of course, every Sunday to do that. So, you know, we got some issues that are challenging to us. At the same time, you know, we have the wonderful opportunity to reinvent our life of our church. And that can be an exciting, fun time. You know, it kind of reminds me of the early church. They didn't have any kind of precedent. They did it as the Holy Spirit led them and moved them, and they did miraculous things. You know, people were added daily to the church. Thousands believed at the time. And wonderful and powerful things were taking place. And that got the attention of the community that surrounded them. So we'll keep looking at, well, what are we going to do when we can reopen all the way? What are we going to look like? We don't want to just layer event, and program, and event on top of each other. But one of the things I think we have learned to value during this time of being shut down and going through the quarantine, coming back by a live streaming, is we can learn to do more with less. We don't want to overburden family so you feel so busy about being here that you can't be family and you also can't be on mission for God. I think that's one of the things that the church, that especially Baptist churches, have missed out on. Is that we've kept people so busy about coming to church and being in church that they haven't had time or energy to be the church out in the community. So we're talking today about that, the need to be connected. And, of course, that is being a part of the life of the church, a part of your life group, and it's also being present. There's something about being present together as we worship together. While I like meeting by Zoom, I do miss the personal interaction. But I think sometimes it helps us to move a little bit quicker and leave some of the frivolous discussions out of the way. But here's what I want you to think about today. When we're thinking about connecting to the body of Christ and that about being connected to the church. And this is something we tried to stress during the time that we were shut down during the quarantine. That the church is not this building. And the church is just not where we go. But the church is on mission out in the community, out in the world. And that's what you're supposed to be doing. And we continue to suggest to you that this is the time that you can still minister to your one person. You can do something in your neighborhood. We talked about blessing bags, and a few of those got used. Some of us are still involved in mentoring at Lonnie B. Nelson. We're doing that it's not by Zoom. It's something else. I have a hard time getting on. What is that thing? Google something, a Google Meet or something like that. They never did allow me to get on last time we did that, so Brian had to cover my person too as well, I think. But we've tried to stress that fact. And I don't know if we did a good job of responding to that or not, because I think most people were just striving to maintain, to keep life in their home going as best as they could and trying to avoid this coronavirus because we know that it's deadly. And a lot of people have pre-existing conditions are most vulnerable to that. But at the same time, we need to understand who we are as the church. Let me tell you, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember this if you don't remember anything else, but I think it will dovetail into what I'm going to say today. That church is not an event we attend, but the church is who we are. Can you remember that? Church is not an event we attend. But church is who we are. So what does the Bible say about us? Who are we? What does the Bible say we are? Three most important word pictures, I think, that the Bible gives to us, used more than any other references to us, are so important. Number one, I would say, is we are the bride of Christ. Yeah, and Jesus is the bridegroom. And one day he's going to come back and claim his bride, and what a wonderful time of feasting and celebration that will be in the glories of heaven when we sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are the bride of Christ. Secondly, the Bible tells us that we are the building of God. Jesus Christ, that's a spiritual analogy as well, that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He was rejected a long time ago. He was rejected by the Jewish leaders and all who failed to believe in him at that time. But he is the cornerstone. He is the rock upon which the church is established. And as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:4, that we are those living stones that are being built into a spiritual house. So we're the building of God. But the one that we're going to focus on today, and the one I think that's the most common picture, in fact, as you, Paul, the Apostle Paul, refers to it 11 times in his letter to the Ephesians, and that's where I'm going to be reading from today. Your lesson is going to come out of 1 Corinthians 12, talking about spiritual gifts and being connected and using those in the life of the church. But the most important one, I think, and most often used, is that we are the body of Christ. And that's a very neat analogy to make, because the body is made up of many different parts. They look differently. They have wonderful functionings. And, you know, if your body is functioning on all cylinders, you're healthy and everything is going well. But if you're not well, your body's not functioning at 100% and something's wrong with you. You're not up to par. You're not functioning completely well. And the same thing is true in the life of the church. No, if we're not all doing our part, what our part is in the life of the church, then the church is weakened by that. So while we're thinking about the fact that we are the bride, we're the building, and we're the body of Christ, and that's used 11 times as an analogy in the book of Ephesians, that's where I want us to go and look at our scriptures. One of my favorite for describing life in the body of Christ and how the church operates and how the church should operate. So look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11 through verse 16. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes, and it fits right in with your lesson today about the giftedness, because here's what he starts out saying. It was he, that's God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, there's that word body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now that's a marvelous analogy. Marvelous teaching that the Apostle Paul wrote to these believers in Ephesus and in the church there that he had helped to establish. And he's writing to them, checking on their health. And he is reminding them who they are. That they are the body of Christ. And that they're just not, when they gather, an event as the church that they go to, but who they are. And that they're the body of Christ. I think we saw it about at least twice here, out of the 11 times he refers to that in Ephesians. So what does that passage of scripture tell us? I think it tells us that God has ordained the church as an organism, or an organization. Organism is a living body. An organization could be a gathering of people to connect to one another and to serve him. I have to remind you that I believe in the church. I was born into the church, as many of you were. I grew up in the church. I have my spiritual roots in the life of the church from this age all the way on up. I have served the Lord, finally answering to his call in my life that I could not get away from. I served three churches for a total of 45 years, and May 9th will be 45 years of ordained ministry. And been here in Spring Valley for 32 years. I believe in the church. I believe what Jesus says about the church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. I believe we could do a bad job of who we are supposed to be as the church. You know, and that's something we need to be convicted about. And I still believe that we have a wonderful, wonderful opportunity before us, even though we are doing it in some unprecedented times. I think that word unprecedented is going to stay with us, because from now on, we are in uncharted waters. It's going to be an unprecedented time for us. But our growth spiritually and numerically will be through the hand of God's blessings upon us. But he will do that in proportion to how we understand and live as his body, as his people connected to one another at Spring Valley. So what I want us to do today is and this is, I'm going to make a confession. This is more of a topical sermon than it will be one, but it is driven by the text, but it's not going to be like we did last week as we walked through that great prayer of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. But there are four things that I want us to understand about why we need to be connected to the life of the church. Number one is because church is more than a place. It's an experience of fellowship. Church is more than a place. It is an experience of fellowship. And I want to share three verses of scripture with you. I didn't put them in here and put them on the screen because I wanted you to use your brain instead of just your eyes with this and just think, listen with me, okay? I'm going to share three scripture verses, and I want you to listen for the one word that is repeated in each verse, okay? First, out of Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, "Where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." All right, the second one is in Acts 2:44. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And the third verse is what we've already read today, Ephesians 4:16. "From him the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Now, what's the one word that's in each of those verses? Together. You got it. And it was so hard for me not to put emphasis on that word. I didn't want to give it away. I wanted you to catch it on your own. And you did. Together. Together. That's the key word there. See, and it's stress in the life of our church. We're better together. You know, we do life together. That's why we call it life groups. And that's because of the fellowship that we experience. And that's not a social gathering in the fellowship center with a meal or a reception, nor Sunday gathered around a coffee pot. We don't have those anymore, you know, like we had downstairs, but perhaps when you meet as a class, you do that. But it is the fellowship of followers of Jesus Christ know and experience it. That's called koinonia, which means to share a common cause. And we do that in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the truth of that is that there is strength in unity when we come together as the body of Christ. The secret of success of the early church, they were in unprecedented times. They were in uncharted waters. But the secret to their success was, the Bible says, they were in one accord. They had one vision. They knew what their mission was. Even without 2,000 years of history as the Christian church, they knew what their mission was, and they knew that together they could accomplish that. And the same thing is true for us. When we understand that church is more than a place, but it is an experience of fellowship. There is power in that unity. And the strength of that power is determined by how connected every part of the body of Christ is to the body. How well you're connected, how well I'm connected, how well you're connected to it, okay? It's like the difference between a flashlight beam of light and a laser beam. I think the life of a laser beam started or began anywhere, or maybe it was made clear. In 1957, when a graduate student at Columbia University named Gordon Gould began doing something that he called pumping atoms to a higher energy state so that they would emit light. And you know, a laser beam is a powerful, powerful beam of light. And he got the name laser from what he called light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. So just remember it as a laser beam. But we know a laser beam has the power to cut through a steel I-beam, right? And at the same time, when it's harnessed in the correct manner, a laser beam can be used to do the most intricate and delicate surgery on your eye What's the difference between a laser beam and a flashlight? Flashlight will give you a little bit of light, but it won't cut through a beam, iron eye beam. And it certainly won't do laser surgery on your eyes. You could go home and be practicing that, trying to do that, fix your eyes. The difference is in how they're compressed together. And the laser beam has all that power and all that energy that a flashlight beam does not. Now, let me go to another illustration. I think we got pictures of them that we'll be seeing all morning on the 4-point with these geese in flight. Okay. Perhaps you've seen these. You've seen geese as they're migrating. They teach us this lesson as well. When geese migrate, they never do it alone. You ever noticed that? You ever thought about that? They never do it alone. I don't know how they gather up in a group like that and how they get together, but they never do it alone. And also when they fly in that V formation, scientists who study them tell us that is for a particular reason. In fact, NASA says each goose creates a wingtip vortex that provides extra lift for the goose behind them. And because they fly in that formation like that, they can fly 71% farther than they could on their own as individuals. That's why geese don't fly alone. They fly in that V formation. God made them that way. And God made you and he made me to have fellowship with one another for the same reason. We can go farther. We can do more. We can do better. We're stronger when we're together. And that's the secret to being the church of Jesus Christ. Together we can do more. Together we can go farther. We can benefit from the strength that we draw from one another. Then I want you to look at a second picture we've got that you might notice, guys, if we can see that second one. There are two that kind of coming back to the flock and coming back to that V formation. And it's a reminder that if a goose decides he wants to fall out of that formation and go it on his own, it's not long before he or she realizes that, hey, I need to get back with the group or I'm not going to make it. And they kind of make their way back into that group. The same way can be true with you. If you've fallen out of the pattern, if you're hearing me at home on TV, and you can be here, there's no health reason why you can't be here, and you're not in your life group in person when it meets, you know, maybe you need to get back. Maybe you're lackadaisical in your spiritual life because you're not together with your group. You're not together here as the body of Christ. You're not together in your life group. Cookie sent out a couple of videos about that being together for her life group, Faith Foundations. I listened to one about Billy Graham's crusade in 1957 in Madison Square Garden. And of course, he was a great evangelist. And the word integrity should always be in the dictionary illustrated by Billy Graham. There's been no shadow of any kind of shenanigans on his ministry or on his life. What a man of integrity. And he was preaching as evangelist to lead people to Christ. But in that particular message, that Saturday night, he was preaching about the importance of being in church. He said, tonight's Saturday. Tonight, make up your mind that you're going to be in church tomorrow. I want to encourage you, every Saturday night, make up your mind you're going to be in church on Sunday. We take great precautions to make sure you're going to be safe. More and more of you start coming back, yeah, that's going to create some decisions that we're going to have to make. But hey, that's what we're paid to do. That's what we're going to do together as a group. Make some of those decisions. Do we just go with two services? Do we go with the overflow? Or do we lift some of the restrictions in here, keep away, you know, from keeping 6 feet away from one another? Can we lift some of those? See, all of those are things that are unprecedented, but that we'll be working on, okay? So that's the importance of being in church, not just at the place, but to experience fellowship. Second reason you need to be connected to church is because church is more than a place. It's an extension of service. Church is an extension of service for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God. See, we are the body of Christ. And when a healthy body grows and matures, it does so, according to the Apostle Paul, making an analogy to the church at the end of verse 16 by saying, it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I think it's so powerful that he talks about as each ligament has an important part to play in the life of the church. As each part does its work. That's a reminder to us that everybody in the life of the church has something to do. You've been given a spiritual gift at your salvation experience. You've been gifted by the Holy Spirit. And that means there is a place for you in the life of the church to use your gifts. It's just like the human body. When one part is not functioning properly, the body suffers. When the church doesn't have everybody functioning together, then the body suffers. Let's look at our geese again. See what else we can learn. As they're flying in formation, that lead goose doesn't benefit from the uplift that it gives to those who are flying behind. Let's get the picture up if you can to remind them about that again. There you go. Okay. So what do they do? How do they do that? Well, studies have shown that they share the lead. One goose will be in the lead for a while, and when he gets tired, he'll drop back in formation, and another one will get up and lead. And they do that all the way until they reach their destination. One leads. He gets tired, he drops back. Another one takes his place, her place. However they lead, they lead. That's what we learn from that formation. The same thing then is applied to the church. Our church functions best when leaders lead and when everybody exercises their spiritual gifts in ministry and service. When I talk to you about this part of the body, and I'm not a health scientist by any means, but the middle ear ossicles, do you know what I'm talking about? The middle ear ossicles. You find they are the three tiniest bones in the human body. You might know them better as the hammer, anvil, and stirrup. They're behind the eardrum. You can't see them. But if they don't do their job, less than one tenth of a percent of the sounds that come to the eardrums would not be audible if those three tiny little bones weren't doing their work. The hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. You see, nobody is too small, no gift is too unimportant not to be used in the life of the church for the glory of God. We all have a sphere of influence. We all have a vital role to play, and we are better together. Church is an extension of service and ministry. Here's the third reason you need to be connected. Church is more than a place. It is an expression of encouragement. It's an expression of encouragement. We go to the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 10, 23 through 25, says, I think we did put these on the screen. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Some interesting phrases he uses. Let's spur one another on. Let's encourage one another. Why do we need to do that? Well, sometimes life can be very, very difficult. Even during this time of this pandemic, we've gone through some difficult times. We've not experienced the death of anybody from the COVID virus, but we've experienced many deaths, and we've gone through some less than what was planned types of celebrations for those lives. We've had to do COVID funerals. We've had to do COVID celebrations and all those kind of things. A COVID 40th anniversary celebration of what we do. COVID Christmas, where we put it online for you. You know, but in every one of those experiences, I've had people tell me, you know, I don't know how people go through this time of grief without faith. And number two, I don't know how people go through this time of grief without a church family and without a body of believers supporting them. And many of you know that from personal experience. I look at you, and I know some of the grief that you've experienced over the 32 years that I've been here. And if it wasn't for being together and the strength and encouragement you got from other people, you just simply might not have made it. And we all need that encouragement because we're all broken people and we live in a broken world. And we're going to meet with failure and disappointment and sin. We're going to deal with death. We're going to deal with all kinds of emotions. But the majesty and beauty of the church is that God takes all of us in our brokenness and he creates a beautiful picture. He creates a beautiful sound. He loves to hear it, all of us sing. No matter how off key you might be, somehow he can make beautiful harmony out of all of it. Do our geese have anything to say to us about that again? Let me see. Let me give you another quick little pride, little test. What do you call? What do you call a group of geese? If you got a bunch of cows or pigs together, horses, it's a herd, right? You got groups together. What of whale? What do they call? A pod. You got a group of lions together. What are they called? A pride. You got a band of oysters, right? What do you call a group of geese when you get them together? A gaggle. Okay. That's your final answer? Is that your final answer? All right. You're partially right. They're a gaggle if they're on the ground. In the air, they're called a skein. Somebody said it. Yeah, they're a skein. And then if they're in a tight formation, and this is not a reference to anybody, but if they're in a very tight formation, they're called a plump. Interesting, isn't it? A gaggle, a skein, and a plump. So what else do we find as we look at these geese one more time fly? Well, no, twice anyway. They illustrate for us this fact. If one goose gets sick or gets wounded and has to go to the ground, two others drop out of formation, and they stay with that goose either until it gets well or until it dies. And then they make their way back into another formation. It's a work of God. It is an absolute work of God to give them that instinct to do that. That's the encouragement that they give to one another. All right, now the fourth thing I want to say about this in the life of the church, and that is that we are a part of the church because church is more than a place. It is an exchange of compassion. And that goes deeper than encouragement. It's a place of compassion. See, we have the responsibility of caring for those who struggle in life. And people in our culture take notice when we care with compassion. When we take care of the needs of others, people know. You look back at the early church in the second chapter of Acts. It was a fantastic thing about gathering together. And it talked about the fact if anyone had needs, what did they do? They pooled their resources and they met those needs. Kenneth Boyle, the one who was gifted in leadership, said, "Our calling and purpose as followers of Christ is to love God completely, to love self correctly, and to love others compassionately." One of the things that makes me most proud to be pastor of Spring Valley Baptist Church is what I've seen you do for 32 years, and that's to come aside people when they're going through times of difficulty, when they're going through times of crisis, when they're going through those troubled times in life. Most recently, back in January, you did that one more time. You did it in a very profound way when a young man by the name of Ryan Knight, that we used to refer to as the kid next door. Ryan became a part, he lived next door in the houses over here. He became a part of the student ministry. He accepted Christ as his Savior. He was baptized right up here in our baptistry. Somehow during the pandemic and all that, we lost touch with him, and he lost touch with his family, and we're not sure what happened. But he ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he was the victim of a senseless shooting tragedy, and he lost his life at 16 years of age. The family was destitute. The family had no means to take care of his funeral. And you people came together. Greg Mosley, owner of Carnegie and Mosley Funeral Home, donated his services. You came together and you had offering that you took up, and Brian had to spearhead this because I was in Kentucky. And you gave the money that bought the cemetery plot and paid for casket, paid for the vault, a cemetery plot, and for everything else that went on with that. And it didn't go unnoticed. You know, there's a network somehow out there. I got contacts, texts, and information from people in churches all around. But this is the most encouraging thing that I want to share with you. This is an email that the grandmother of Ryan Knight sent to the church and asked me to share with you. She wrote, she said, "On behalf of our family, We want to say thank you so much for the overwhelming generosity, kindness, and love shown to us and to Ryan by making his beautiful funeral possible. Ryan would have been so happy knowing how well loved he was by all of you. I've been in churches all my life, and I have never seen this magnitude of love in action, like what was shown to our family by your staff, leaders, and congregation. That's a special word to you, Spring Valley. We're special. Special thanks to Brian and also to the former youth pastor, Zach. I will eventually get around to mailing out cards, and she did. And it was also a heartfelt message. But she went on to say, Ryan loved coming to church there. It was there that he found Christ, and we are so grateful that he did. He felt so much love and acceptance from all of you. His time there was the best part of his short life. We miss our grandson so much, but have great comfort in knowing he is with Jesus. So thank you. Thank you again. You make me proud. You make me proud when you show that compassion. People, let me try to close this out. People in our culture today are hungry to be connected. That's why people go around with cell phones. That's why they're on Facebook. That's why on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, whatever else out there. Parler, I think, is a new one out there. But those are not personal face-to-face relationships. But the church is designed by God to build meaningful relationships with Christ and other people within the body and those who have not yet come to be a part of the body. So let me encourage you, stay connected to your church. If you've fallen out of meeting together with this church body and your life group, get connected again. Enjoy the relationship in your church. Serve through your church. Show this culture around this church that they can experience the love of God at Spring Valley Baptist Church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you sent Christ to be our Savior, that he died in our place for our sins and for our forgiveness. Thank you that you allow the church to be built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. You allow us to be living stones, being built up into a spiritual house so that we can serve you. Thank you, Father, for all the people who are here, who are part of Spring Valley, for the love they have for you and for the gifts that you have given to them that we use together to glorify your name. Father, I pray that in the coming weeks and months and years ahead, that as we grow closer to one another and closer to you, your hand of blessing will be upon us. And through the unprecedented times of the future, you will give us that wisdom and guidance to know how best we can continue to penetrate the lostness of this culture and the loneliness of this culture and the desperate needs and the brokenness of this culture with the good news of Jesus Christ. So that we can see men and women, boys and girls, come to be connected to him and connected to the church and spend all eternity with you. Father, this is my prayer. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.